And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090. So glad to be back on the big signal there. Yeah. And we have a big guy in the studio here, Captain Jim Hughes from the Cortez, talking some fishing. And you talk about a big prize that Jim's Christmas came twice this year for Let's Talk Hookup listeners.
You ain't lying, buddy. Yeah, an amazing opportunity for somebody to get to go fishing on the Cortez. And again, thanks to Jim. And it just rad. Really, really cool and really excited.
It's his birthday. We get the press.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
No, it should work out that way.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear at the beginning of the show, big thanks to the Cortez. Somebody's going to get to go fishing at the end of the show today, if you're the lucky caller, on a day and a half or 2.5 day open party trip on board the Cortez, and you're going to get to bring a friend. So
Wow. You
and a guest on your choice, day and a half or 2.5 on board the Cortez on an open party trip coming up next year.
So they'll just call you up. You'll get a certificate, and you just call up Jim and say, hey.
So what do you got?
What do you got?
There's a lot of times I'll probably, you know, we did it last couple of years, put these guys on charters that were, light.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Charter group that you've had for a bunch of years, yeah. And they normally go with 16, but they've
people.
Only got 12,
yeah.
And they need a couple extras.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
We had, like, this year, we had a half a dozen trips probably with 6, 8, 9 guys.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah.
They were charters. They were full charters, but,
yeah.
they weren't allowed. Weren't allowed to go. Yeah. I know one company told them, hey, you guys can go. But when you come back, you're 2 weeks quarantined without pay. I put the kibosh on that.
Yeah.
So,
did you lose a lot of charters this year?
No. Well,
you just picked up.
We picked up. We
lose. Come back. The Cortez we're talking about here.
You know, we did lose quite a few, and then it just picked right back up.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people were just spooked at the beginning.
Sure.
Because nobody knew if we were going to go.
All right.
Like I said, we were one of the last ones to open up, and it's the San Diego fleet. And we got all our protocols in there. You know, they use SAC's protocols to open up from Golden Gate all the way down.
Yeah.
You know, everybody that belonged to SAC. And again, kudos to Ken, Frankie, getting all that together.
Oh,
all
yeah.
The county health departments were all different. Everybody had their different, you know, protocol they wanted.
Right.
But once we got opened up, then everything just started picking back up.
Yeah.
You know, the open party guys this year did excellent because there was a lot of trips that on the charters and stuff, charter-wise, where they couldn't go out, the group canceled or something, so they got on an open party.
Right.
So that worked out well.
Yeah, it might be 10 guys, only 4 of them can pull it off, but those 4 are always going to jump on a, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
With good fishing, we always find a way to go.
You know, I think Brian Kihara said it best. He goes, next year these people ought to be horny to go fishing.
After this year?
Yeah.
No doubt.
For sure. Well, let's go ahead and jump into those phones.
You got it. Well, speaking of those phones, if you want to be a part of the fun this morning, give us a call at 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on the Mightier 1090. 213-432-1090. Let's talk to Todd. Todd's calling us from San Diego this morning. Good morning, Todd. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Great show.
Good morning,
thanks, Todd.
Sounds amazing. Hey, good morning, guys. Cortez,
good morning.
I just wanted to make a quick comment on Jack. Just a suggestion. I never met him, but he sounds like an amazing guy. And I thought maybe that the Let's Talk Hookup show might start a memorial or some type of fish scholarship fund for your listeners every day that, not every day, you know, like on an annual basis when you can give away on your Christmas show.
Nice idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Todd.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he was a good dude. I really love the idea that you're going to do a tribute show. That'll be a lot of fun.
We
talked about that
at
the beginning of the show, and that'll be really cool.
Yeah, he's such a special guy and warrants a special dedicated program. That was actually Mike Lum's idea.
I'm not surprised. One bit.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it was a great idea, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate
that
very much.
No, go ahead.
Willing to donate a fish mount to you to the fundraiser or the memorial if you guys do that too.
Oh, that's nice.
That's
you do fish mounts?
Yeah, the TV Metal Arts stuff.
Oh, you're TV Metal Arts, Todd.
Oh,
okay. Yeah,
that's right.
No, your TV Metal Arts, Todd, are amazing. You do unbelievable
work. Thank you so much.
I see the one all the time up at Point Loma Seafoods, like the yellowfin. I think it's yellowfin chasing flying fish that they have up at Point Loma there, and it looks awesome, man. You did a great job.
Thank you so much. Yeah, like I said, I'll donate a full fish to whoever, to the cause. All right, thanks, guys.
That's really cool, Todd. Thank you very much. You're always very generous. Appreciate the call.
All right. Awesome. Let's jump right back into him. We're going to talk to Harry. He's calling us from La Jolla this morning. Hi, Harry. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Harry.
I first started fishing in San Diego in 1971. And in June of this coming year, I will have celebrated my 50th anniversary. Now, I noticed that over the years, I'm taking more and more gear on board and using less and less of it. Jim, I have a question. If I were to only take 3 setups, what would you suggest? Because I want to reduce what I take on board.
Are you talking about overnight, doing 2.5, 3.5 day trip? Depends what kind of trip you're going to take.
2.5 day trip with you.
If you're coming out with me, I don't want you to bring out a 20 to 25 pound rod, a 40 to 50 pound rod, and an 80 pound rod. And that would cover what we're going to do.
3 rods.
3 rods. He said 3 rods. I'd say 3 rods.
Okay.
That's what you want to bring.
Yeah.
Anything else, if we get in something heavy or we got the gear?
You got it on the boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got lighter gear, fishing bait and stuff. Mm-hmm. That middle-sized gear, fishing the yellowtail at the islands or whatever, it covers everything. And the 80-pound gear, when you're fishing that bluefin and stuff like that. I prefer you use 100, but 80-pound will get you by. If a fish end up being that bigger grade anyways, then we're going to have the gear for you anyways.
Yeah. But what about the flatfall nighttime stuff?
That 80-pound stuff, you know, flatfall fishing at nighttime is, I don't know what's... Daytime seemed like the fish pulled a little bit better. Other times at nighttime, we wind that fish up in 20 minutes, 15
really?
Minutes.
Crazy.
I mean, nighttime, just like they get all discombobulated once they're hooked. Wind them up.
Tim was talking about that last night. He said, you know, you guys would hook one in the bow, and you're kind of busy, and you got things going. He said, you see them running back and forth, mm-hmm. you know, because the fish is kind of going, you know, getting a little squirrely.
Yeah.
You know, you think, okay, I need to check on those guys in 10 minutes. And he said, before that 10 minutes is up, you see 2 or 3 guys dragging one down that has 3 gaffs in it.
That's
that they're
right.
lifting the gate up
yeah.
to pull it on. Like,
that's right.
How
yeah.
on earth is there a 270-pounder that
yeah.
8 minutes ago had just, you know, was pulling line for the first time, and now it's coming through the...
It does the same thing down below at the islands on that big yellowfin at nighttime.
Just gets exactly, freaked out at night? Or?
I don't know. It just acts weird.
Yeah.
You know,
come,
you can wind a lot of... I'd say 80% of the time you're winding things up in half the time it takes you in the daytime.
In the nighttime, they still doing big circles and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Acting the same way.
Yeah. At nighttime, it's tough to see the line and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You know? But
how do you guide that? I mean, here it is pitch blackout, man, and you got a couple going or several going.
It's tough, but, you know, we just tell the guys that you got to keep your lines tight. We get anybody. Well, I tell the guys, the guy that's fishing with you, he's your best friend. So you got to get close, you know, see where the rods are. And we've had tangles, 3, 4, 5 tangles, all, you know, same fish going every direction.
Sure.
I mean, just we bring it all up to the rod tips. Put the rod tips right there, put it at the apex, take the rods, untwist them, and go. But hopefully we can see far enough in advance we don't get into a tangle.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
But, well, and that is well-seasoned and well-trained deckhands, too.
Absolutely.
You cater a lot
to that.
They
can see way ahead of time. You see 20 minutes, 30 minutes, what's this fish doing, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, these fish get close together, this fish is going down. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, that fish has got 100 yards of line out, and he's up in the bow. If he's got just a slight angle, that fish is way down there past the stern.
Wow.
You know, with that much line out.
Yeah, so and then you're going to get tangled with
absolutely.
Everybody else.
Yeah. You're not going to pull the fish out of a tangle, you need to follow it.
Yeah,
you
know?
That's a good.
Keep your line right in front of you, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Say that one more time, because I think it's worth hearing that.
You're not going to pull your fish out of a tangle. You need to follow it. Period.
Because you see that so many times, you know, a guy pulling. Oh, I don't want to go back there and get into that mess. And you'll see him like pull, you know, diagonal up the other direction back to the bow. If he's swimming there like that, he's
you
he's already
go.
There.
Yeah,
you
know, he's already down there.
Yeah,
he's
down
already
down
in that
down.
Mess.
Yeah,
that's yeah.
You end up cutting them off.
Yeah, you know? Not good. You don't want that.
No.
Yeah, Harry, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning for sure. Appreciate that very much.
Rick,
go ahead, Harry.
What reels would you suggest? What reels would you suggest taking on those three?
If it were me and I was taking that three rod lineup, I'd have a Talica 10, I'd have a Talica 12 or 16, depending on how big your hands were, and I'd have a Talica 20. And I think you could fish anywhere from 20-pound fly line to 100-pound, you know, fluorocarbon on that thing. Those three reels, a 10, either a 12 or a 16, if you have bigger hands or smaller hands, and a TAC 20. Catch everything that swims.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the call, Harry. Appreciate that.
Hey.
Let's talk about your crew for a sec, real quick. You have obviously a seasoned crew and well trained by the ultimate guy. You've had deckhands with you for quite a long time.
Well, yeah, John's been with me for a couple, 3 years. I got Jordan this year. His stepdad is Rick has Marine Del Rey sport fishing.
Oh, cool.
And he worked on the Fortune the last couple of years. He came over, so we're getting him all learned up on the engine room and all that good stuff, fishing wise and on the meter and stuff. I had Jesse, who my cook, came back. It was cooking 5 years ago. He came back up from San Francisco and so forth.
Nice.
And then we have a substitute crew member every once in a while, you know, comes on the boat. But the crew has always been
solid.
You know, solid. You know, if they're not, we get them up.
Yeah.
You know, I usually make the crew stay on the bait tank for the first year or so, see what's going on. We don't let them cut any fish. We do get fish. We bleed them all. I don't care what they are. We cut them all. We get clippers. We cut everything. Bleed them all out.
Rockfish.
You know, everything.
Yellowtail, tuna.
Everything.
It's all getting, everything gets clipped.
Everything gets clipped. Everything.
Yeah.
You know.
So and you put them right into RSW.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right on the boat. Right.
Yeah.
Just right down the slide. And we got a slide. We don't drop them and we slide them.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to open it up all the time.
That's right.
Yeah. So. Which is real nice. That's a nice
thing. It works out very, very well.
Yeah. And let's go ahead and jump in the phone.
Yeah. Well, I had a fun text come through, especially with all that flatfall talking that we were talking about before. This one's from Norman. Says, do glow and fluorescent flatfall jigs actually get bit better than just the regular flatfalls?
Yes.
They do.
Okay. They do.
There it is.
No question.
Huh? No question.
Yeah.
They absolutely do. That's where the point of guys winding them up all the way up all the time, they think their glow's out of it.
Okay.
You know? But I tell them, hey, you're good for 5, 6, 7 times. Wind it up 10 cranks, drop it. Wind it up 10, 12 cranks, drop it. You see these guys that got purple lights, green lights on their heads.
I'm recharging the glow.
Charging the glow, you know? But, yeah, they do.
Okay.
What I've seen, yeah, they do.
And what about hooks on the flatfall?
We change them all, every one of them.
And what do you
found
the most?
We recommend them.
What's the most successful setup?
We'll put two or three hooks on the top, and then two or three hooks on the bottom.
Oh,
so like a lot of
years ago,
a lot of hooks.
There was a time when we couldn't get that we couldn't get the flatfall in San Diego.
Sure,
right. They were sold out.
Right,
you know, we were losing them that fast. I mean, they were biting these things off 300-pound, 400-pound. They were biting them off. And we tried double line, we tried, you know, heavier line, they're still biting through these things. Putting the hooks up on top, they can't swallow it all the way. So the hooks get on the outside, they get on the inside, they can't swallow it enough to bite them off.
Oh.
I mean, once in a while they will, but that hook is in their jaw, tops, outside, keeps on the outside. Our losses went down to minimal.
No kidding.
Wow.
Minimal.
There's something to be said too, having having extra hooks when they're down there shaking their head at bluefin, our head shaking, son's a gun, man.
Like are
it
they
just
ever.
That is the part that just man, I just lose my stomach every time we're pulling on a big one loose on our boat and you see those big old giant head shakes and you know when there's four or five of those sharp hooks flying around, maybe one whips around and catches them in the gill plate and then the other one catches underneath and maybe one does shake loose, but then the other two are are hanging on there.
You know, we had now that we got all this hooks, and some of the guys, well, how am I going to let it go? You know? Well, just let it sit there for a little while. It'll shake the hooks out.
He'll figure it out.
He'll figure it out. I mean, we've seen plenty of them go by themselves.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, because with the two fish limit, you want to, like, true size. It's just the size that you want to keep.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, put some slack in their line and give them a few minutes. They'll figure it out
They'll figure it out just fine.
Yeah, not a problem.
That's cool. All right. Well, that's a great text. How about we jump back into the phones and talk to John? John is calling from Chula Vista this morning. Hi, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Is the sinker rig fishing only in the daytime, or do you do that at nighttime also?
No, you do it at nighttime also. You know, if you're flat fall fishing or you're fishing in the daytime, no, you're sinker fishing. Sinker rig fishing, it gets underestimated.
Okay.
It works well. Most guys won't put in the time or the patience for it. But sinker fishing is you're going to get a bite just as much as anybody else on any other thing.
Give us a technique. You know, how do you rig?
You're rubber banding a 4 or 6 or 8 ounce sinker, depending on how the current is, like that, and 6 feet of line.
6 feet above your hook?
Yeah. And then you can use a chandelier rig, what we call a chandelier rig, cook 3 or 4 sardines on it, or just a single sardine on it. And you're getting down there where whoever's driving is going to tell you, hey, I see fish down there, it's 20 fathoms, it's 30 fathoms, depending on day or night where it's at. And that's where you want to be. Okay. You know? And it works.
Yeah. And how are you hooking that sardine?
You're nose hooking it. Always with a sinker, you're nose hooking it.
Sideways to the nose?
Yeah, sideways to the nose.
Okay.
You know, so we'll put 3 or 4 sardines, you know,
sideways
on
to the 6-0,
7-0, or 8-0 hook.
Oh.
Like that. And also, we call our chandelier rig because there's a bunch of baits. I mean, if you look at, if you're in a drift for any amount of time, you look down, up in the bow. Most of these boats drift, you know, stern first. You'll see a little ball of anchovy swimming around, mm-hmm. or a ball of sardine swimming around. That's what you want it to look like down below.
Oh. Is that a Roy Rose thing?
That's where I learned it.
The only reason I say that is because that's got Roy Rose written all over it. I don't have a thing to back that up at all, but that just seems to me like the type of thing that Roy would have done and, like, been super successful with. Like, I got nothing to base that on.
Let me tell you something.
Other than that's the type of thing that dude would have done, and then, of course it worked. You know?
I can tell you horror stories.
I can only imagine.
Roy worked for me for years.
On the Cortez?
No, on the Mission Bell.
On the Mission Bell.
And over at Seaford. We'd be twilight fishing, and this guy's catching sand bass full speed, and he sells his jig to the guy next to him for $5, and I look over at it, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And like, when we're looking at it, it's a bow spring from a 671 that he got out of my shop. And I said, where'd you get this? That curly-haired kid over there, which is Roy. He's catching a bunch of sand bass, and then he keep selling it to the next guy, to the next guy, next guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Sockets. Yeah.
He takes sockets out of your toolbox?
Out of the toolbox, like that. Tie some feathers on it like that, like a popper jig.
Oh, my gosh.
Catches up.
So he's the reason the 10 millimeter's always missing.
Absolutely. Yeah. He sat there, when we used to have a company charter, IBM company charters right here, and sometimes we couldn't go out because of the weather, because they'd be in the wintertime. Ron Snyder used to run. So a lot of the boats would be right along San Diego Bay at the bait receivers, mm-hmm. just tie up there and catch sand bass stuff. Like. Right. He'd be on the bait receiver getting everybody sandbags because they never kept the fish. So he'd go right there and get all the fish from the people. I can tell you stories about this guy.
Yeah. I love it.
Endless stories.
Oh, yeah. When he was a little kid, he was a fishing fool.
Well, and he isn't
nighttime?
Now?
Oh, not as bad.
Not as bad.
I mean, it was 24-7 then.
Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
That's pretty cool. Hey, with that said, it's time to find out what's biting out there. It's time for our FishDope.com report with your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen. Today, that catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch, now with Fish Pros the market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, those spices, rubs, smoked cheese, and their famous tuna burgers. Don't forget that amazing poke kit. Call for details or order online at fishermansprocessing.com.
And they have that new location. I knew you were talking about that yesterday, right across from Perry's Cafe.
Yeah, right on Taylor Street, right
Taylor
in the corner
Street,
there.
Pacific Highway, it's a great spot.
Yeah,
the old fireplace store.
Exactly.
The old fireplace store, but it's converted into the ultimate
absolutely.
Fisherman's Processing.
It was really cool talking to Tim yesterday. yesterday here, and you know, like we said, like they had multiple years of efficient, you know, running at the highest end processor, and then got to basically build their, you know, their dream location. So double the capacity on the freezer side. He just said the efficiency that the cutters are going to have is going to be cool. That is going to be a state of the art facility. I'm really excited to go check it out.
About it.
Well, hey, let's find out what's going on. We got Dave Hansen standing by. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Rick, Rambo. Good listening to you this morning. Good to hear you guys. Hey, I just want to first of all, I want to say good morning to my dad. He listens to your show every single Saturday and Sunday, Pete, religiously. Like, that's his thing. He gets up early, listens to the show, and I know he's listening right now because he loves Rambo.
Hi, but, Don.
Yeah. Morning, Don.
Morning, Don. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Dad. Happy New Year. Hey, guys. So Brian Woolley touched on it a little bit. Really fun bass fishing this week for some of the guys fishing down there in Dana Point area, down the coast, fishing that kelp. There was fun bass fishing. I mean, I know it's the dead of winter, water's 58 degrees, but there's still some surface action to be had there. Then over at Catalina, still a really good sign of squid on the backside and on the front side. And then I know there's been a handful of sea bass, no wide open fishing by any stretch of the imagination, but there's been a handful of sea bass on that backside of the island. That smaller grade fish, but it's legal. And there's some of that, and there's some of that bigger gray yellowtail out by the Farnsworth. You know, at no, hardly any coverage. There's hardly any boats fishing, but there is fish to catch over there. Then you look at that fish down below there, Ryan and those guys down there in San Diego still finding that quality yellowtail down the line there. And who knows what's going to happen when you start sending those boats down there, down the line looking for that yellowtail, because a lot of the guys coming and going, coming down here to Cabo, said they're still seeing a lot of that bluefin on the way down off of Colonnette and on down towards San Quintin. So, gang, there is absolutely no reason to not go fishing, like I say every week. There's still plenty of fish to catch. I know we're all going to be sad here in a few more days when they close the rockfish for a couple of months, but that just means there's going to be more opportunity to look for all the other stuff that bites in the wintertime. There's zero reason to stop fishing. Just because you can't catch a rockfish, that does not mean don't go fishing. You got to get out there. You got to go. Pay attention to fish, though, because Danny and the boys are always going to be right on that bite.
And it, or just come to one of the San Diego landings and catch some rockfish in Mexican waters. That's the beauty of that,
right?
There
you go. Yeah. Exactly. But like Ricky was saying, they'll probably screw that up and only find bluefin and yellowtail, and then there'll be a bunch of fish.
Oh, darn. Yeah. Wouldn't that be a tragedy, right?
They couldn't catch any reds, yep.
Yeah. Well, fishdope.com, of course. Danny, Jeff, and the boys do such a great job year-round, 365 days a year. They post reports there. How to do it, I don't know, but they do it. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code on fishdope.com. And how do we find you, Dave?
Gang, you can check out my website at yoursaltwaterguide.com with over 350 how-to videos to catch fish in Southern California. We cover everything there is to catch in Southern California. So check me out at yoursaltwaterguide.com. And Pete, it's like 85 degrees already this morning here, and the ocean's flat, and Kelly's begging to go fishing, so I think we got to go fishing today.
Go get them, buddy.
All right.
Fun, Dave.
Yeah, have fun. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Happy New Year.
See you guys later.
Talk to you next year.
See you, Rambo. All right. Bye.
That's cool. All right. We're going to jump right back into them, having great times this morning. Again, if you want to join us, 213-432-1090. That's how you be a part of Let's Talk Hookup this morning. Let's talk to Gary. He's calling us from San Diego. What's up, Gary? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. Yes.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. I fished with Jim out of Dana Point way back when, and I'd be anxious to get back on his boat.
Wow.
That was a while ago.
It's time.
Yep. Hey, question for you. What is your favorite kind of fishing, and what time of year would you suggest I go with you?
Offshore fishing is my favorite kind of fishing, especially on this better grade bluefin now. But I would say prime time is going to be September, October would be prime time. Early season stuff, like in June, July. August is, August has been sort of disappointing the last few months, or few years, You got fish down below. It's not disappointing as far as catching fish. It's just which way you go.
Right. I would see that for sure.
It's do I go down below here? Did I go up above? You know, depending on what the group wants to do. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not that the fish are down. It's just making it's a harder decision.
Seems like that's about the time when that fish is no longer just below the island,
yeah,
or in the canyon between the 43 and that, mm-hmm, it's starting to get up around the backside or way off the back end of it, where you're committing some,
yeah,
you're committing some distance. Like you kind of,
you're going to commit.
Got
to
call
time
one way or the,
yeah,
other. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, there was times where you had to make 150 to 170 mile move, and you just don't want to do that every
move.
Trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just,
yeah,
don't want to do that every trip because that's fishing time.
It's a lot of time.
So. Yeah.
And you have a lot of range on that Cortez. You
can
go wherever you need to go.
We can go where we need to go, but the thing is, the mental part of it is you're missing that fishing time because the stuff bites, that bluefin bites at nighttime, in the dark, in the morning, the nighttime. Your opportunity, it's in your mind, you're thinking you're losing that opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
And you got to get
there.
It's the time to get there, but it's also the time to get located. And just because you're on scene doesn't mean you're, you know,
yeah,
you don't pull the throttle back necessarily and start catching it. You got to,
no,
get there and then have time to figure it out and where,
yep,
you need to be and where it's on and,
absolutely,
what direction the current's going and if it's on the shallow or off the shallow or whatever
you
else.
You got to hand it to these guys in this fleet. I mean, they're on it most of the time. You know, everybody in this fleet. And competition's good, but this fleet does a damn good job of staying on top of this fish.
Yeah,
you
know? No question. Yeah, for
that's
sure.
Cool.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, well, we had another fun text come through. This one from Jason in Avalon says, wants to let you know that the signal is coming in loud and clear on the island.
Very nice.
And wants to know, ask Jim about what do out-of-the-water Coast Guard inspections consist of? And are they common to fail? Are they common to pass? Is, you know, what's that like?
The out-of-water inspections are relatively easy. They're going to check all the hull. They're going to check your rudders. They're going to check your shaft logs. Check if there's any play in the shafts. You're going to change your cutlass bearings. They use a rubber mallet or a hard plastic mallet, and they beat the hulls, you know, see if there's any soft spots or stuff like that they want you to correct. They're going to check all your through-hole valves. Make sure they open and close properly. They're going to get down into the nuts and bolts of things underneath the bunks and stuff like that. They're going to check the hull.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure everything below that water line is ready to rock and roll and safe. They're relatively easy if you're keeping your boat up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can tell them, hey, I got a discrepancy here. You know, here's what I'm going to do to fix it. And that's what they want to see.
Yeah.
You know, they want to know that you're
aware of it.
Aware of it.
You know
proactive.
Your boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's relatively simple, and you're straight with them, they're going to be straight with you, and they're not out here to, you know, tear your boat apart or anything,
sure,
like that. They want to make sure that when you take people out, they are safe.
That's cool.
And you
got to
do that every year.
I do it every year. Most of the boats don't have to haul out every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
But it's, for
and
me, it's been a, it's a pay me now or pay me later.
Yeah.
The inspection's
so
every 2 years. But you can call for an inspection every year.
And your haul out, you do it every year, but most boats do it every other year.
A lot of boats do it every 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you have a topside every year.
Yeah.
You know,
so
topside inspection.
Basically, you're required to do it every 2 years. You just, for preventative reasons, you just yank it every year.
And then you take a boat like the Royal,
mm-hmm,
you know, every 5 years you have an ABS inspection. They check, you know, they basically do a sonogram on every square foot of the hull.
No kidding.
You know, we did that last year. And you have ABS, and then you have your regular Coast Guard inspections. You know,
yeah,
so
and long range boats have to do it every year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're that's a soleless boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, they really get down and make sure.
Fine tooth,
yeah,
come out.
Oh yeah, and it was fine last year. I mean, you know, we did Frank's boat here, and we had it done a couple weeks. You know, everything we needed to do, blow the water.
You help along. You help with the maintenance part of it.
Yeah, yeah. We're just doing, while the boat's sitting in right now, we've been doing a little bit.
Frank's a lucky guy to have Rambo helping out on the maintenance, that's for sure.
I like working for Frank. He wants his boat good, and that's the way it is.
That's what you like to do.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. I like it. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great info. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
Are you looking for an ultimate fishing destination? Well, look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris Lodge in British Columbia. This is Valerie Hopebridge. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure, but a few of the highlights in fishing with us is the protected, calm, pristine waters for quality Chinook salmon all season. After you get your limits of salmon, Queen Charlotte Safaris will take you in our comfortable, covered, heated jet boat to our halibut, lingcod, and rock fishing areas, and we have larger retention than Alaska. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sunspit, and it's so easy to get to. You fly from almost anywhere from the United States and Canada into Vancouver, then a short flight directly to Sunspit. Our trips are all-inclusive, full days of fishing, custom processing, fishing license, and all your gear is provided. Let our expert chefs pamper you with amazing meals. Our staff delivers wonderful hospitality, all in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. So call me at 1-877-815-2892 or qcsafaris.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
It's a fact. Shimano produces some of the finest fishing reels for our Southern California sport fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. We have a complete selection of Shimano saltwater reels like Talica, Speedmaster, Trinidad, Torium, and Tranx reels. Plus, we have all the best Shimano lures like Flatfall, Colt Sniper, and Orca. Our professional saltwater experts at Fisherman's Landing Tackle have the know-how to help you choose the right Shimano product for your next trip. When it comes to Shimano gear, you owe it to yourself to visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will maximize your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day, full-day, and open-party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Pete here to tell you about our friends Jim and Mary and their incredible crew at Poway Valley Collision. I hear it all the time. Hey, I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, and you were right. Mentioned you guys, and they gave us the VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say, Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. We know you may not need them now, but when accidents happen, it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. And I'm not fooling. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, and Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. I had my car repaired at Poway Valley Collision, and the job was perfect. So get your vehicle fixed right at Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning talking fishing. I love having Jim on here talking Cortez and fishing. This is a great show. And if you want to join us, man, there's still time. Give us a call at 213-432-1090 or shoot us a text via the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Indeed. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phone.
Sounds good to me, man. Mark from Santee is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, we're waiting for Mark here. Let's why don't we jump back into him and talk to Gary? Gary's still hanging with us.
Andrew, are we having issues with the phones there?
Well, while we're waiting to get.
Yeah,
I know we can deal with that
text.
while we're waiting to hear from Andrew there. This one, hello, this is Mike from Murrieta. I was wondering what Rambo thinks the 2021 season has in store for us fishing-wise. Are we going to have an El Nino or a La Nina? And the second question is, what does he think it's going to take to see the elusive albacore again? And that, again, that was from Mike in Murrieta.
We're actually having our fifth warm water event right now.
Okay.
It's 2 degrees Celsius above normal. And we look at that from Central America all the way up. I think this is the fifth out of 7 years of warm water events. There's a line that me and Steve Crook have been watching, and that line dropped down a little bit more this year, and it seems like that albacore doesn't get above that line to get into Southern California.
Okay.
And so right now, if that line dropped, we only need that line to drop another 100 miles.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe 150 miles, but that warm water event that we're having, and they go by how high the ocean rises, because when the water warms up, it raises.
Okay.
A good website is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory website.
Really? That's fascinating to me.
And I downloaded that, and I watch that thing all the time, and Steve and I have always looked at it, and he sent me some stuff there a couple of weeks ago, and it looks like that line might not push down far enough because of this warm water event.
So as the water is warmer, it
rises.
Floats.
Yes, yeah, it actually rises, and this is, I think it was 6 inches or almost a foot above normal.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's really cool.
And this is like sea level height.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe Terrafin has that on there too, right?
Somewhere. I don't know, but I looked at that Jet Propulsion Laboratory one, and it's pretty interesting. So
that's cool.
It's hard to say. I'd like the albacore to be back tomorrow. And, like I was talking earlier, things have changed over the last 8-10 years. You look at, that yellowfin at Guadalupe. There's a perfect example. It used to be bluefin at Guadalupe. Now it's all yellowfin at Guadalupe.
Right.
The albacore fishing this last year, those guys were up there catching albacore in June up above Northern California, Oregon.
Yeah, a lot of guys, that albacore fleet, a lot of guys wouldn't even untie their boats from San Diego till June to start driving up there. To catch it in July and August.
Are we missing it down here earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this bluefin's got us so keyed in. I think the XL caught an albacore this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Earlier in the season, right?
Yeah. Are we not getting out there? We don't have the jig boats like we used to, patrolling that outer Mexican water stuff anymore. And that was what helped us years ago.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's just we're not getting out there early enough because we're keyed in this bluefin. This bluefin's been on the beach, and we're not getting offshore. The water setup's been fine. The water temperature's been good. The bait setup's good. Maybe we're just missing it.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Let's try on phones again. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. How about Mark from Santee? You still hanging with us, Mark?
Yes, I am. How you guys doing?
There he is. Right on, Mark. We're doing great. Good morning, buddy.
Good. They already answered my question, but I have another question. What is the most memorable experience you've had in 2020 while fishing? And anyone can answer it.
Wow.
Being the last show of the year, appropriate question.
Yeah.
Yep.
My most memorable fishing one, I did a trip with my boat partner Neil and another buddy of ours, Joe. We had a particularly good trip where those big ones were biting the flyer really good, and it wasn't, I don't want to call it wide open because it wasn't that, but it was lots of opportunities of small schools. There were like small breezers of fish, and if you could kind of thread the needle with your putting your balloon and your kite up at the same time and kind of trolling it into a spot of fish and then drop the flying fish down to them, you got a bite every time. And it was just like one of those extremely satisfying, because Neil, my boat partner, he's just fantastic about it. He's better than I will ever be at that. Like, okay, the fish are going that way, the wind's going that way, we need to go here and here and move it out at this time, and threading the needle. But as soon as you drop that flyer into those spot of fish, you'd get a bite every time. And we had one of those trips where we caught as much as our 25-foot center console could hold with fish and ice and everything, and we were stepping over big giant ones, and on a little boat like ours, I think we had limits of that big giant fish, plus have many more as you could have ever wanted to catch. And
it was probably one of there was a lot of days like that this year. Right?
Just awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is there any single standout trip that you have?
No, I got to sort of run together, but the trips that we get on that fish and there was biting a flying fish and we couldn't get the rigs out fast enough. We had 5-6 going at once.
At one time? Big ones.
Yeah, all big ones with every one of our kite gear out.
Yeah.
And we're
looking around for whoever else got something heavy.
Rigging up fires as fast as you can.
Faster, good. The passengers are bringing their flying fish gear on the boat. And we're just going, next, next, next.
Wow.
And if a guy wasn't ready, next. You know?
So what causes that? Is it a time of day thing, or is it just they were just there?
There was just there.
They wanted it.
Just they wanted it. They were licking it
all day long.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where I think you keep three or four of those fish going like that, and it just gets the other ones all excited.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, where's mine?
Yeah, I want my turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Pete? What was your favorite?
I related it to earlier in a show, we had a day like that where every flyer we sent out was just instantly boiled on, or we didn't have to wait very long, yeah. And finally drove away from it. You know, it was with Mark Wheeler, and I was on my boat, field research, and I think we were not even just out near Clemente somewhere, mm-hmm. not even that far away, 40 miles maybe, yeah. something like that, and just an epic day of just big fish. I mean, that big fish fishing on the flyer, is there anything better than that? I mean, it's just so visual, right. And it's just so exciting, and when it wants to go off, it's so much fun.
I watched a lot this year with the guys. We're sending a flyer out, and we're getting bit like that, and everybody else is not fishing. They're watching.
They're watching the show. Yeah.
They're watching that show.
It is impossible not to scream some sort of man scream. Oh, yeah. It's impossible to see that and just be silent about it.
I watched that a lot this year. I was going, hey, this is not a cruise ship. You guys need to get your baits in the water.
Now you're sounding like Frank. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Let's go.
Hey, with all that training
but
from
they
Frank,
were,
right?
They'd sit right there on the side of the boat, and they're just going, whoa, look at
that. So cool.
And you watch these fish come out of the water 5-6 feet and go right back down on the bait.
Oh my God.
I mean, you never have a camera for it in time.
Yeah.
But the visual, you'll never leave.
You'll never forget.
Totally.
Ever. Yeah.
Never leave it.
Yeah. And let's hope that we see that once again.
Oh, we will.
2021.
Yeah, we will.
You're pretty confident?
I'm very confident.
Okay, I like that.
Man, I like it. Yeah. I like it. Damn right, we'll see it again.
I want some more. Yeah.
When I saw that fish starting to head southeast at the end of in November, you know, they see that bigger fish move down.
I love that.
I said, this is going to happen again.
Just like you said, that was the perfect thing. Like that fish isn't as some people say, when it gets that big, it goes back to Japan. That fish wouldn't go to Japan. It'd go back south to go eat some more.
One that was over 200 pounds in November.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, just the local.
Like 280.
It slid right back down. It's sliding right back down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Were there days that it didn't bite?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Everybody hears about all the good days.
Right.
Exactly.
There's some of them ones where you are so frustrated, you're sitting on fish for hours and never get a sniff. I mean, not a sniff. And you sit there and go, what do I do? What did I do wrong? You know?
Yeah.
And you look at it, and then maybe you get a bite nighttime, you know, a little bit of night bite. But no, there was plenty of those days.
There's just days it doesn't want to bite, right?
You'll see it boil around.
Yeah.
You know, that's even more frustrating if you see it boiling around.
It's there.
Yeah. Everybody sees it's there.
Yeah.
But no, there was tough days. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's fishing.
And the fish move a lot, right?
They move plenty.
Yeah.
But there was volume. So, the fleet was never compact into a 4-mile area or 3-mile area. It was spread out all everywhere. We had guys 10 miles, 20 miles below you catching fish, 10 miles above you. That fish moved up to the backside of Catalina and then, you know, out towards Santa Barbara and just rotated, and they came right back down. You know, so
amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I dig it, man.
Yeah.
Hey, well, let's jump right back into them. Talk to Gary from Oak Hill this morning. Hi, Gary. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, Rambo.
Morning. Morning, Gary.
Good morning, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Gary.
Rambo, I got a question. What's the chance of us fishing Guadalupe next year?
Woo. It's hard to say. You know, Northern Baja is pretty much locked down, so we're waiting for permit action right now. I would say it would be all right. I think the chances are good. It's just... Ensenada's locked down pretty tight right now as far as being able to get permits. And I think it's going to...
Things will improve.
Yeah, if things improve and stuff like that. I know it's going to be another charge from the island side of it, from what I understand as a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's going to be a $25 a day or $75 a day charge for island fishing,
really?
From what I understand.
Interesting.
I mean, that's already passed, but whether it gets implemented or not, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's good money for the Mexican government. I don't see why they wouldn't
put
things together.
They're hurting for tourism money, especially this Northern Baja. The Southern Baja's open.
Yes.
You know, but the Northern Baja is pretty still locked down right now.
Yeah. But so we'll just have to wait and see.
We're just waiting
are
and
you
see.
Fishing, are you fishing Guadalupe on the Cortez?
No.
No. This is like on the Royal Polaris.
Yes.
On the trips on the Royal.
Yeah, the Royal, the long range boats.
Yeah.
Know, so.
And how often are we going to see you on the Royal Polaris?
I don't know what Frank's got me scheduled. I know when I talk to Frank, he goes, I got you scheduled for 2/22/22
Okay.
He's scheduled out through the
He's got a trip for me in 2022.
I think
I know I'll be on the two whale trips provided we get the two permits.
Yeah.
And then I think he's got me scheduled for another trip. And then,
yeah. You do a lot of that in the winter. In the wintertime, we'll see you a lot on the Royal Polaris.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the Cortez will start running again when?
Usually in June. We have trips. I think our first trip this year is going to be middle of May, or towards the end of May. And then, provided something else happens.
Could you be running earlier if you opened your books up to it? Like, is June, you know, end of May, beginning of June, is that when you decide that you want to start running Cortez again? Or is that just kind of what the season bears?
It fits the schedule for what I've been doing on the Royal the last 12 or 15, because we haul that boat out usually in the middle of May. Mm-hmm. You know, it fits that schedule. But, I mean, I can go do work the weekends or whatever.
Sure.
If there's something available.
Yeah, there's fishing to be had.
Yeah. I've got a lot of guys that right now they're saying, hey, if there's fish to be had, can we get on the boat? Mm-hmm. And I say, yeah, we'll figure it out.
So. That's cool.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go ahead and check back on the phone.
Yeah, you got it. Well, how about another fun text? This one says, nighttime bluefin fishing. Could we be using a steel or cable leader to catch the fish, similar to a Wahoo Marauder leader? Serious question, he says. That's Dan and Irvine.
You could. I don't see why not. It's nighttime. Not nighttime. I always tell our groups, use the heaviest gear you got.
Mm-hmm.
Does it give you any advantage to use wire, or is it a disadvantage?
No, I don't know how. I haven't seen anybody use the wire.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes the jig act a little bit different, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think it would, but I can't say that for sure. But, I mean, we're using 400-pound leaders at nighttime.
Yeah.
You know, and it works fine.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't see a wire leader not getting bitten off.
Yeah.
On the other side of it is, you know, it's just as heavy as 400 pounds as far as, you know, and it's thinner.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just never seen anybody use it.
Back in the day, Dart used to talk about, Bob Flesh used to talk about wiring surface irons.
Yes.
You remember those days? What's that all about?
Wire with a big loop at both ends.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the jig would swim real free. Just like having a ringed hook. We didn't have ringed hook back then.
Mm-hmm.
But we had pieces of wire, and they had a bigger wire, you know, bigger coil on the end of it, like that. And so the jig would swim a lot better. And you could wind the jigs in fast, especially that yellowtail fishing.
Yeah.
And Dart was good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, really good at it.
But you don't see that anymore.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, some of the older guys, you know, they still do it. I see a couple wire jigs.
Yeah.
But I'd say most of the new guys don't, you know.
So maybe putting wire on a flat fall isn't such a bad idea, just to change the action of it.
I don't know if it's going to change the action.
No.
You know, that thing gets its action when it's falling.
Yeah,
you take
something
that's 7 or 8 ounces and send it to the bottom, it's gonna get what it's going to get. But, might stop it from getting chewed off, hard to say.
Yeah.
Wire's a little tougher to rig, though, too. I mean, you still crimp it just fine, but it doesn't have shock strength like mono does. You know, it's obviously they're not going to chew through it. It's wire. You know, he's going to do real good that way. But, like, when you snap mono together, that in fluoro too, that little bit of stretch absorbs a lot of that, and you don't get that with wire. Not to say that it would or wouldn't work. I don't know.
I don't know
at all, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're gonna try.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never even thought about it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you think about fishing 200 or 300 pound or 150 even fluorocarbon. It's like, you know.
Well, now that I think about it, we wire some of the hooks on the flat falls.
Right.
We use
wire.
Wire. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just short wire and crimp.
Wire and crimp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get chewed off if you have a piece of 275-pound, you know, 49-strand wire all crimped up there.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to make sure your crimps are right.
When we got chewed off, we got chewed. The whole jig was gone.
Yeah.
There was no ifs, ands, or buts what happened.
Yeah.
He took it from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. Hey, when we come back, it's time to find out who's going fishing day and a half or 2.5 with you and your fishing buddy on board the Cortez. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer, a world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. Get in the action fishing for all five species of Pacific salmon, king, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls in Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. And check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's K-A-T-M-A-I.com. Katmai.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
All right, it's time to find out who's going fishing the day and a half or 2.5 day trip. Plus, a guest on the Cortez is going to Kaylee in Chula Vista. Congratulations. You are going to love fishing with Jim and the gang on the Cortez.
Yeah, and you'll be hooked.
No
for
doubt
sure,
about
right,
it.
Jim?
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah, you and a guest.
Absolutely.
For sure. Hey, Jim Cortez, we just heard from Seaforth Sport Fishing, and that's, of course, where you're out. You're there with
my
the guys at Seaforth. You're the man at Seaforth.
Well, I don't know about the man, but we got a good group of guys over there.
Oh, it's a great group.
Tackle shop, the office, guys all the way down the landing, the dock.
That famous guy, Marcos, on the radio?
That guy that guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah,
he's there.
Guy. Well, if somebody wants to book a charter or a trip on the Cortez, how do we do that?
You can give me a call. My Cortez number is 619-203-2965 or Seaforth, which is 619-224-3383. Or you can get a hold of us at my email at fishcortez.cox.net.
fishcortez@cox.net. Yeah. So you can book charters at Seaforth, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thanks, Jim.
Awesome,
thanks for
Jim.
The generous gift there, too. And thank you. Happy New Year to everybody. That wraps up 2020. Thank goodness.
Thank right? God.
Yeah. And let's head into 2021 with Corey Sandin from MC Swim Bait and Jack Soul, the world famous calico fisherman.
Good,
next Saturday and then next Sunday, the one and only John Collins, knot and fishing expert, will be here to start the new year right. Thanks to Andrew, thanks to Adam, and thanks to all of you on Let's Talk Hookup. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookup app.